Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Cembra Half Year 2023 Results Conference Call and live webcast. I am Konstantinos, your Chorus Call operator. The conference must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to Mr. Holger Laubenthal, CEO. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to be here. We're with our CFO, Pascal Perita, Volker Gloer, Chief Risk Officer, and Markus Händel, Investor Relations, myself, Holger Laubenthal. Good to be here. I look forward to walking you through the half-year results for Cembra this morning, and then we'll take your questions. So on the first page, just the agenda as usual, I will talk about the highlights. We'll have Pascal and Volker talk about the financial results and the loss performance, respectively, and then we'll have a quick outlook for you in terms of going forward. So let me start on this page here with the overview. Look, I'd say overall solid performance in light of a challenging environment. We continue to grow the business. Net financing receivables up 2% or up 3%, respectively, adjusted for seasonal effects. Net revenues are up 1%. So as planned, we have been able to compensate for the funding interest rate increases through a mix of asset repricing and additional fees, particularly from the buy now, pay later business. Net income came in at 75 million, 17% below the first half last year. This is really predominantly due to the expected normalization of the loss performance as envisaged and investment into our transformation and strategic programs. Cost income at 53%, again, predominantly due to the investments that I just mentioned, as well as the buy now, pay later by Juno acquisition. And the loss performance, very pleased with the continued very strong performance here at 0.7%. We have previously discussed the normalization over time towards 1% or below. That delivers overall an ROE year to date at 12.2% and strong Tier 1 capital at 17.6%. And move on to the next page on the markets and products. Again, you know this slide. We continue to see growth across the core markets. In personal loans, we have grown very selectively. At about 1%, with a strong focus on repricing. We'll have more on that for you later. Auto, again, here too, pricing focus, but nice growth in net receivables, 3% in line with the market, with a share of just over three quarters in used cars. Cards, look, we're pleased with the trajectory on revenues and assets, as we've guided you before. That's in line with our expectations, while the total number of cards, it's down 1%, our own brands and active partners year to date are up 7%. And then buy now, pay later, I think that's a great story. We're accelerating our delivery. On the back of the acquisition and successful integration, fees are up almost 200%. So overall, I'd say good performance across the core markets. Let me get to a few operational highlights here on this next page. So as I mentioned, right, overall resilient performance. Given the rate environment, we focused on selective growth, fees compensating for some of the net interest income challenges as per previous discussions. Continued strong focus on pricing measures, as well as discipline, as you know from us, in terms of risk funding and at the same time advancing the strategic transformation. Talking about the four programs that we put in place in terms of our strategy on operational excellence, progressing with the core banking system upgrade to planning to launch later this year. We're pleased to have concluded the data center consolidation. We came up with further enhancements in our mobile application for better customer service and experience, as well as efficiency. Business acceleration, we continue the charter transition. We now roughly transition about 60% of the previous Cumulus portfolio, and we'll have a bit more detail on that later. We also launched our instant onboarding solution for partners, which has been quite well received with partners in the stores. On new growth, I talked about Cembra Pay. I think the launch went very well, again, well received. We had mentioned to you previously the Twin Corporation. We're on track, and we'll have some updates for you later this summer on this in terms of that process. Culture, as you know, this underpins what we're looking to do. In terms of organization readiness, making sure we have the right skills, capabilities at the right places, a simplification program and embedding cultural metrics as well to ensure success in this area as well, in addition to a bit of new employer branding with the new career website that we've launched. So look, overall, good progress. And now let me hand over to Pascal to take us through the financial results.
Thank you, Holger, and good morning, everyone. We report today a solid financial performance for the first 6 months. We are pleased with the asset and net revenue growth, largely in line with GDP, the strong growth performance, and the continued resilience business performance. Let me explain. The net income in the first 6 months amounted to 75.1 million. This is a decrease of 17% as you compare to the record results in the first 6 months last year. And as already mentioned by Holger, on one side, due to the normalizations of the loss performance after COVID-19 pandemic, as we expected, and then the continued strategic investments in operational excellence. The net revenue increased by 1%, with commission and fees income compensating for lower net interest income. The net interest income declined by 3% to 170.6 million, and this is mainly due to the increased interest expenses. I will comment in a few minutes. This lower net interest income was compensated by a 12% increase in commission and fees to 82.4 million, and this is mainly driven by growth in buy now pay later business. The buy now pay later billing volumes more than doubled, both because of the consolidations of Byjuno and the organic growth of Swiss billing. As a result, the commission and fees income from BNPL business increased to 19 million compared to 6.5 million last year. The share of revenues generated from commission and fees amounted to 33% compared to 29% last year. The loss performance is at 0.7%, and Volker will comment soon why this is strong. The operating expense increased by 10% to 134.5 million, and this is driven by a mix of integrations and consolidations of Byjuno and the investments related to the strategic initiatives, mainly our strategic program, Operation Excellence. As a consequence, the cost-income ratio increased to 52%, and I will also comment a bit later. Return on equity of 12.2% and Tier 1 capital ratio of 17.6%. The increased interest expense were fully offset by additional income sources in the first 6 months of the year. As we guided in February, the net revenue increased by 1%. The 18 million increase in interest expense reflect the change in interest rates and environment since mid-2022 and additional funding required to support our receivable growth. As said in February, repricing measures is one of our priority this year. The year-on-year average pricing for new business. It means the average pricing of new business in the month of June this year compared to June 2022 increased by 140 bips for auto and 130 bips for personal loan. As you can see on this page, there is a timing lag between the P&L impact of the repricing actions on the new business and the increased interest expense. Consequently, the net interest margin reduced from 5.5% to 5.1%, and this is expecting to stabilize at around 5.1% in 2023. Finally, the increase of interest rates cap in May 2023 will support the NIM stabilization. On the card side, the following successful launch of the credit card Certo in June, the credit cards business delivered a resilient performance in the first 6 months of the year. With our strategic plan 2022-2026, we indicated that we expect cards assets and revenue to be at least in line with pre-COVID level, means so 2019, from this year on. The achieved results for the first 6 months of 2023 are broadly in line with our expectation set 2 years ago, with cards revenue of -1% to our 2019 revenue. We are pleased with the successful transitions of the Cumulus cards portfolio, with about 60% migrated to the new cards offering Certo. As of June 2023, our cards portfolio mix is around 50-50, business B2C and B2B2C co-branding partnership. We continue to successfully grow its portfolio of co-branding partner for credit cards by 7% in the first 6 months of the year. Operating expense. Our total OPEX increased by 10% to 134.5 million, as mentioned before. The personal expense increased by 4%, and this is reflecting the acquisitions of Byjuno with 44 additional employees. 14 employees integrated already as of late last year, and then this year 30 employees based in Latvia and forming now our nearshore entity Cembra Technology. The general administration's expense amounted to 64 million, and this is an increase of 18%, and this is related as well to the significant investment in strategic initiatives and, as mentioned before, the integration consolidation of cost. The investment into strategic initiatives amounted to around 11 million for the first 6 months of the year, OPEX and CAPEX combined, and mainly for infrastructure, workplace, and the core banking platform of our leasing business. Professional services increased by 26%. This is driven by higher temporary as well resources related as well to the operation excellence strategic initiatives. The collection fees increased by 51% and is related to the Byjuno acquisitions and the agreed outsourcing corporations in Byjuno operator collections, as we communicated in September last year with the acquisitions of Byjuno. The cost of for postage stationery decreased, and it's reflecting our continued effort to further digitize our processes. The retail expense reduced by 12%, and the depreciation and amortizations increased by 12%, and this is the result of the acquired intangible assets by June last year and the corresponding amortizations. As a consequence, mentioned before, cost income ratio 53.2. For 23 full year, we expect a stable cost income ratio compared to 2022, with improvement in the second half of the year mainly expected for more continued discipline cost management, lower Byjuno integrations cost, and initial benefits from our operation excellence. Now I would like to hand over to Volker for an update on the provisions for losses.
Yes, thank you very much, Pascal. For the first half of 23, we report a loss provision of 25.1 million, translated into a loss rate. It stands for 0.7%. And with a 0.7% loss rate, we are clearly under the longer-term average and also in line with our midterm targets. In a comparison with the first half of 22, the loss rate, though, is 0.2 percentage points higher. Here, I just want to reiterate that last year's loss performance was still influenced by some individual items that relate back to the COVID-19 pandemic. If one would exclude these items from last year's number, the development into the current year would be obviously less pronounced, as the pure absolute number might suggest. A similar picture as for loss provisions is observed on portfolio quality metrics, illustrated here with the 30-plus delinquencies and NPL ratios. 30-plus delinquencies stood at 2.0% and NPL at 0.7% at the end of the first half. This is also in line with longer-term levels, but slightly up compared to prior year. We have been very consistent in our credit risk-taking and aim to maintain our prudent approach here, also in the current and more uncertain macroeconomic environment. We continually and cautiously monitor the creditworthiness and payment patterns of our customers in the portfolio to make sure that we can react quickly in case the macroeconomic situation would lead to any adverse trends. Based on the reported numbers for the first half, we observe a very solid portfolio quality. And consequently, we currently continue to expect to meet our midterm targets of a loss rate of less or equal than 1%. And one might still foresee a further gradual move or gradual convergence to that level. And with that, I hand it then back to Pascal.
Thank you, Volker. On the balance sheet, as you know, we adopted the US GAAP current expected credit loss accounting standard in the first half of the year 2023. And as a result of these implementations, the allowance for losses in the balance sheet increased by 64 million on the asset side, as you can see, as expected also, with a reduction in equity on the liability side of the balance sheet, with no day one or no impact day one on the profit and loss. The total net financing receivables amounted to 6.6 billion. This is an increase of 2%. If you adjust for the effect of the adoptions of CSEL, as mentioned before, the underlying growth amounted to 3%. The funding increased largely in line with the growth in financing receivables. And finally, the shareholder equity decreased by 96 million. The decrease is attributable to the dividend payment in April of 116 million and was partially offset with the net income for the first 6 months. In addition, we, as mentioned before, we had the adoptions of the CSEL standard resulting in an increase of 54 million in retained earnings. Net financing receivables. In a personal loan business, the financing receivable increased by 1% to 2.4 billion. This was driven by solid volume performance with increase in market demand. Interest income in personal loans increased by 2% to 82.5 million with a yield of 6.6%. The net financing receivable in auto lease increased by 3%. This was driven by strong volume performance, mainly due to vehicles price development. The interest income increased by 11% to 71.8 million with a yield of 4.7. We see that the timely repricing on the auto business has already a material impact on the net revenue and on the yield. Finally, net financing receivable in cards declined by 3%, and this was driven by lower activities on the remaining as a cumulus portfolio, offset by continued successful Certo migrations. Interest income in the cards business declined by 4% to 42.1 million with a yield of 8%. Funding. The balanced and diversified funding portfolio increased by 3% to 6.34 billion with a funding mix 51% deposit, 49% non-deposit. The deposit base decreased from 3.5 to 3.25 billion at the end of June, and this is primarily due to a 14% decrease in institutional deposit and a 6% increase in retail deposit. The non-deposit debt increased by 18%. In May 2023, we paid back a 250 million unsecured bond. In January and May, we issued two unsecured bonds of 235 and 210 million. And in May 2023, we entered into an auto lease asset-backed note of 275 million. The weighted average durations increased to 2.5 from 2.1 at your end. The end-of-period funding cost amounted to 1.25. And the average funding cost in the first half of the year amounted to 0.97 or 97 bips compared to 50 bips in 2022 financial year. We remain very well capitalized with a strong Tier 1 capital ratio of 17.6%. We expect the capital ratio to be slightly above 17% at your end, including effect from the adoptions of the US GAAP reporting for regulatory reporting. The company maintains its financial targets until 2026, including a dividend of at least 3.95 for 2023 and growing thereafter based on earnings growth. With that, I hand over to you, Holger.
Great, thanks, Pascal. So as we move into the outlook, just a quick look here at our scorecard. We shared this with you in February, and as mentioned during the presentation here, I think overall solid progress. A few things work in progress and operational excellence. We're continuing towards the launch of a leasing platform later this year. That shifted a bit versus the initial expectations we shared a year and a half ago, but we do look to launch this later this year, as we said. In terms of the other key things for the rest of the year that we have on the right-hand side of the page here, again, we shared this in February, looking to roll out the new Workplace 365, initial decommissioning of systems. On the business acceleration and new growth side, the continued cards migration, spend stimulation and activation on that portfolio, as well as looking to work with our existing and potential new partners. We discussed the enhancements of the mobile app, which we continuously have new releases for efficiency, self-service, and better usage by customers. Buy now, pay later, quite pleased with the progress, looking to conclude that integration later this year, and then culture transformation. Look, we're proud to be again amongst the great places to work, and the continued focus here on embedding our values in talent assessment, talent development, and that underpin our transformation with culture scorecards and metrics. In conclusion, on the next page, in terms of the outlook, again, I think the agenda for the rest of the year is clear. We expect continued resilient business performance, clearly delivering our key milestones, repricing, share to cards transition, and transformation with a continued focus on benefits realization, as well as the conclusion of the Byjuno Buy Now Pay Later integration. What this means in terms of performance, as we said in the past, net revenue at least in line with GDP, stable cost-income ratio versus last year at 51%, and the last performance you've seen, we're doing well, you can expect the same going forward. Given some of the headwinds we discussed in terms of lag of asset repricing and phasing of the transformation benefits, we expect to be at the lower end of the RE target range for this year of 13 to 14%. Some of these headwinds will likely extend to some degree to 2024, which means we see some challenges on hitting the ROE target of 15% next year. However, we maintain our financial targets through 2026, including the dividend, as you see them on the right-hand side. So with that, thanks for your attention and for listening, and look forward to taking your questions now.